Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Giulia Bianconi from the 18th International Venice Film Festival in company with Johannes Wierix, one of the actors of Comandante, directed by Eduardo De Angelis, the opening film in this edition's competition. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Very nice to be here.
Well, that's your debut film, Comandante.
Yes, it is. I'm almost ashamed to say that, because it's so giant to have this as an debut movie, to be opening the Film Festival of Venice. That's really the biggest honor I could wish myself. It's great to be here, and I'm very overwhelmed by all the things I can do and the people I'm going to meet and I am meeting. But it's an honor. It's great. Yesterday was a great evening. I cried the whole time, the 2 hours of the movie. I cried the whole time. I had tears all over my cheeks. It was amazing.
That's a movie that talks about a man, the Comandante Salvatore Todaro, during the Second World War saved the enemies. Mm-hmm. And you are one of the enemies in this movie. Mm-hmm. Could you talk about your character and what was the biggest challenge playing this role?
I think, yeah, it's interesting to talk about it because we can talk about it from a lot of diverse perspectives, because indeed they are enemies, they should be enemies, but I think the most interesting point of the movie is that they, at the end, aren't enemies anymore. It's really talking about fraternity, I hope that people in English will understand, about the brotherhood between the two different cultures and people. And that is maybe also, at the same time, the most difficult part of my role, because there's always the fear, can I really trust the other one? Can I trust the commander, the Italian commander? But on the other hand, I also, my character at least, felt so at home with him, and as if it was a father for me, for example. So there's also this ambiguity between the two diverse dynamics between the characters and the two different people. But other things, I had a little bit of difficulty with water, because since I was young, I'm afraid for water. Mm. So I had swimming lessons for this movie to feel at ease in the water, because I was really afraid to go with my head underwater. And they gave me, I live in Amsterdam, and they gave me swimming lessons in Amsterdam and also in Taranto, where we had the shootings in the externals. And that was very cool, very honorful. But I also remember that one of the mariners in one of the workshops, let's say in the swimming lessons, as a test, he put my head underwater as a surprise. And for like 5 seconds, and I really thought I was going to die. I thought, this is not okay. This is not cool. Why are you doing this? I was so afraid. I was like, now I'm going to die. This is the end. I'm not doing this movie. And he said, I had to do it because that is a test how you would act underwater in an emergency situation. And then I actually learned a lot of him and of all the collaboration also with the mariners. So I overcome a little bit of my fears as a human being doing this movie and for these preparations.
So this film has a current message. You know, you can be human also during a war. Mm-hmm. So how is contemporary a film like this?
Yeah, it is a very, very, very urgent, actual theme, this movie. That's very important, and that's also at the same time very difficult. I hope the movie invites people to think about these things. And it's my brother, for example, he's an historian, so he studied history. And he says, and yeah, history learns us that it repeats itself all the time. And that's a pity, because we have seen wars and fights every time since civilization. There is always a war at some point in the world. And that's a pity, because it looks like war is part of us as a human being. I hope that's not true, but even in those situations, in a situation where two human beings or two countries or something are against each other, it's possible to act with your heart and to let your heart speak. And I think that's what the story learns us, to listen to what our heart says and to follow our intuition in a way. If there's a man in the water, you save him because you're a human being. And it's difficult maybe to judge or to imagine this if that human being is not on 2 meters distance, but on kilometers distance and you don't know him, that is a whole different situation. But let's get in this story and let's identify ourselves with Todaro, for example, because he's really a hero in my opinion. And I think we can all be like Todaro. We could all act like him. We have all this capacity, this power that he has.
We are speaking English, but in reality you can speak also Italian.
Facciamo una prova dell'italiano.
Ah, una prova, okay. No, but I am interested about your career. Your career, you start also in your country, in Belgium, but mm-hmm. you have studied also in Italy, no?
Isn't yes. it? Yeah. I was raised up in the Netherlands. I'm Belgian because my whole family is Belgian. And I made the decision to study in Belgium, where I wasn't raised, but it felt good to go back to my home country, although I never learned or lived there before. And then I studied for 2 years in Antwerp. That's one of the main acting schools in Belgium. And after 2 years, I was like, okay, Belgium, that's a very beautiful country, but maybe I'm not that Belgian as I thought. And then I was really looking forward to acting in another language, in a language that's maybe more romantic, more poetic than my language. And then, of course, Italian is the most perfect example because that's the most poetic and romantic language I know. And then I did an audition for Milano and for Roma, the two acting schools that are the national acting schools. And I was accepted there, but I couldn't speak Italian yet. Mm-hmm. So I learned it while I was studying there. I remember that I did a phone call to the director of the acting academy, the acting school, and I was with a friend there, and he was typing the answers in Italian because he could speak Italian and me not. So he was writing the answers I had to give on the talk, on the telephone talk with her. And so she thought I spoke Italian, but it wasn't. It was because of this friend of mine. He knew Italian and he said to me what I had to say to the director of the acting school. So I started learning Italian living in Rome for 1 year, and that was great. It was the best choice of my life. Now I'm in Italy and I'm like, why am I not just staying here? Why should I go back to Amsterdam?
So after Edoardo De Angelis, are there other Italian directors do you want to work with?
There are a lot of Italian directors here at the festival this year, so that's a big vantaggio.
Opportunity.
Yeah. Indeed. So I really hope to meet some of them. For example, yeah, it may be strange to call names, but I'm very looking forward to the movie also from Matteo Garrone, and also to the movie Finalmente L'Alba, that's debuting tonight with one of my classmates from Rome, Sofia yeah. Panizzi. We were in the same class, so that's very nice to see her after all those years back in Venice. But yeah, I think the most historical, monumental movies I know are Italian. For example, La Grande Bellezza. It's like a monument, not only in Italy, but also abroad, and also for me.
So, thanks, Johannes Verix, one of the actors of Comandante, the opening film of this 80th International Venice Film Festival. I'm Julie Bianconi for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Thank you very much.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.